This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of January, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It's a Wednesday. It means that we're having our on-the-clock Guardian Radio AM mashup session. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas, and in a few moments, the Director of Communications from the OPM, the Office of the Prime Minister, will be joining us, Mr. Latre Ramming, for a brief, very brief insight on the recent cabinet changes. So let's get this show started. With our Sand Dollar Merchant List live read. The Sand Dollar Merchant List is growing. If you're looking for more places to spend the digital Bahamian dollar, visit sanddollar.bs/merchantlist to view a list of verified merchants in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands. If you're a business owner and you'd like to join the Sand Dollar Merchant List, contact 302-9880 or sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. That's sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. The SDAU stands for Sand Dollar Adoption Unit. Now for the Sand Dollar On The Clock giveaway live read. We're giving away Sand Dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom name in texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday, you can be a winner. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning, Erin, and welcome back and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir. Happy New Year. It's good to see you. I had a trivia yesterday, Mr. Newry.
Okay.
Do you know what was the top soca video of the year, 2023, for the Caribbean Music Awards?
It was in the Bahamas.
No, but I mean, it might as well have been because we adopted the song as if it was our own.
Which song was that?
Mind My Business by Patrice Roberts. Drink Water and Mind My Business.
I'm Bahamian?
No.
Which means
Is Patrice Roberts? I don't think Patrice Roberts is Bahamian. She might as well, though. She might as well be Bahamian. I say we could cover that. I don't want to say teeth.
But did we cover it? Or did we just sing it just like how she sang it?
I think she sang it.
Oh.
I think she just sounded like a Bahamian.
Okay.
And I don't think anybody mad at that. Ali, producer, is Patrice Roberts a Bahamian? Anyway, she might as well be a Bahamian, last name Roberts, and a song like that. We love it. We love it, and we love her for it. So, Mr. Newry, as we await the arrival of the Director of Communications, let's go through some of the headlines to talk about this today.
Yeah, man. Let's go.
All right. I found two things. I found this article from last year's Guardian. I like saying that even though it's only a few days away. In speech at Life at Key, PM hits at economic inequalities. And then someone sent me a copy of the speech. Maybe we could read a bit from that today. Mm-hmm. Followed by Pinder says, industrialized countries owe obligation to vulnerable countries. And then Investment Authority wants more entrepreneurial opportunities from FDI projects. Next on the list, Abaco Waste Management sites would cost over $100 million to restore. FOIA awaits technology to launch pilot program, and we can follow that up with the story in today's paper, Freedom of Information, Not Top Priority of Government. And then BTC blames most of its network failures on electricity suppliers. Then I saw an interesting story, Mr. Nuri. The Bahamas Customs and Excise Department has made an announcement about an increase in passenger taxes and levies.
People that want to leave the Bahamas.
Pintard raises concerns with PM over Fiscal Responsibility Council. Hold on, Mr. Nuri. I just heard what you said. You said people want to leave the Bahamas?
So you got to pay.
No, they don't want to leave the Bahamas.
So they don't have to pay.
They have to leave the Bahamas.
So they have to pay.
Yeah, that's the problem. The tourists come, but they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
But they got to go back home.
Yes.
Even if only for a short time before they come join us.
And we will tax them.
I mean, it'd be tax everybody. We may tax them a bit more. Mm-hmm. When we look at these fees, though, it turns out we may be taxing them a bit less.
Cool.
We'll see. Good morning, sir. Mr. Reming?
Oh, Aaron. So good to join you, man.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning. I wanted to start today's conversation with a brief look at the cabinet, the recent cabinet changes. If I could just briefly read from one of Friday's headlines, new posts for Smith, LaRota, and Lundy. Prime Minister Philip Davis yesterday announced two cabinet appointments, as well as the appointment of West Grand Bahama and Bimini MP Kingsley Smith as Parliamentary Secretary in the Ministry for Grand Bahama. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. So, as you would remember, last September, we experienced the unfortunate passing of the late Minister Obi Winchcombe.
Yes.
And that in itself created a vacancy. The Prime Minister would have assumed the responsibility of the late Minister's portfolio for a temporary period. Considering that Minister Miles LaRota was currently the Minister of State in the office of the Prime Minister, he had delegated those duties to him.
Okay.
Subsequent to that, we had a by-election where the governing party was successful. Kingsley Smith would have been the new member of parliament for the West Grand Bahama and Bimini constituency.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave the government sequence of events, gave the government the opportunity to, one, to promote Minister LaRota to a full substantive minister,
mm-hmm.
To also promote Parthak Nandi from minister, from the parliamentary secretary to the prime minister, the Minister of State, who will now have responsibility over the DRA, disaster preparedness, PTC, Alive, water and sewage, fixed and heritage, and any other matter the prime minister delegates to him. Kingsley Smith will now become the parliamentary secretary in the Ministry of Grand Bahama, where he will work closely with the Minister of Grand Bahama, Honorable Jenny Moxie.
Okay. Another quick question. To see information and broadcasting paired with social services seems a bit odd. Could you explain the rationale for the pairing? And that's less so, more so, what function or what role will the or the portfolios for information and broadcasting cover?
I think what happened then, the Minister LaRota would have been the substantive minister for broadcasting and information prior to it being added to the portfolio of Minister Awusim.
Okay.
So I think naturally, considering the fact that he had served as the minister prior, it may have been the consideration of the government to have a minister who would have been minister responsible for the initial early months into the government. So I think that may be the rationale there, outside it being paired with a ministry that it can go quite well with. Mm-hmm. But considering the minister was the previous standard minister, it would have made it easier for someone who would have had the leadership of those entities prior.
Yes, we know with Winchcombe's We know with Honorable Wilchcombe's experience in broadcasting, it seemed a perfect fit. Like, that's a minister who can handle that portfolio.
Well, definitely. That was the thinking there. But I think, more importantly, we always are guided by the fact that we need to be a very talented group of men and women who comprise the cabinet of the Bahamas. They understand that we are governed on the principle of a blueprint for change. They know that our promises that we have to be, been elected on by the Bahamian people. So regardless of whoever's serving these portfolios, some have their obvious strengths, but we also believe that they all have the capacity to execute on the document that we were elected on. I want to just broadly chime in on 2 points if you let me, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk briefly about something that was widely covered in both newspapers, where the Prime Minister, I believe, was asked whether or not the freedom of information was a priority of the government.
Mm-hmm.
What the Prime Minister said was that the government has a number of priorities.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest priority for him is the cost of living impacted by the Bahamian people. At no time did he indicate that that broader transparency, which is the foundation of good governance, is not a priority for the government of Bahamas. What he said, all of these priorities are categorized. They all carry with them their own weight levels. We know that one issue that impacts Bahamians on a daily basis is the cost at the grocery store, the cost for rent, the cost for healthcare, the cost for electricity. So this is something that greatly occupies time with the Prime Minister, outside creating safe communities for people. We have been committed to broader transparency of building the government's information capacity to share more information. The Attorney General, Ryan Pinder, who have already stated that that the government is in the process of ensuring that the pilot programs for the freedom of information have the resources they need to begin. And so it remains a commitment of the administration. I think if memory serves me correctly, the governing party would have been the government under the previous Minister of Education, Jerome Fitzgerald, to bring the foundation of the Freedom of Information Act to Parliament. So it is a priority of the government of Bahamas. Is it a leading priority outside cost of living and crime? No.
Understood. Can I ask, to what extent has the unfortunate passing of Minister Wilchcombe caused, you know, to what percentage, you know, how much of this delay has been caused by the rigors or, you know, the complexities of the transference of responsibilities in the passing of Mr. Wilchcombe?
Well, obviously, Minister Wilchcombe would have served as the government business. Insofar as his ministerial portfolios, of course, planning a state funeral, paying respect to a past colleague, preparing for the opening of Parliament, also dealing with a by-election, preparing a campaign for a by-election, identifying a candidate for a by-election, the governing party of the convention, it does create a very tough environment. But I could assure you that issues and policies and priorities and legislation that have been a promise outside of the speech from the throne has not been delayed. The government has a very clear focus as to what it wants to achieve in the second phase of its administration. Whilst the passing of Obi Wilchcombe came with its shared complexities, in no way it became a barrier for the progress for the government. Matter of fact, we were had a renewed sense of inspiration and wanting to honor the legacy of Obi Wilchcombe, what he believed in, and wanted to ensure that the way we govern did right by those principles.
Absolutely. Two quick questions. Is there a timeline for the implementation or provision of, is there a timeline for the provision of both regulations and resources for the pilot program? And is there a particular division? Is there a single unit within the portfolio of information that's dedicated to artificial intelligence?
Well, I have to double check because I don't think that the Freedom of Information Act is under the is in the preview. I think it may be in the preview of the AG's office.
And not the portfolio of information. Okay.
Not portfolio of information. So what I think for, and the term information is really government, the way in which the government communicates with the public. In that regard, what I think could be a healthy addition to the, not healthy, but a much more constructive addition to the dialogue, I will speak to our press secretary, Kisela.
Okay.
So where she could, at one of the presses, calls for the Attorney General to give a broader update as to where we are with the Freedom of Information Act.
Okay.
And what level of resources that we need to bring to it.
Okay.
You had a second question, but after your second question, I really want to speak to the new taxes and fees that was that came into effect yesterday.
Okay. Yes, sir.
You want to ask the second question first before I go to that?
Oh, so well, I think maybe you answered a part of the second question with the first question, but which ministry will hold the unit responsible for artificial intelligence?
Well, I think we have artificial intelligence has to be seen in multiple perspectives. One, there is the opportunities that come with artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And there's the threat of artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And so there's a national security element of it. So I think what we have to do holistically as a government is see how collectively we respond to the issue about artificial intelligence. One of the things I think is something that the Prime Minister has been looking very closely at, particularly with his cabinet, his Caribbean colleagues. CARICOM has called for a special unit to focus on how we respond to these opportunities and threats. It's something that the cabinet of the Bahamas is going to be looking at very closely. Mm-hmm. We understand that technology is evolving quicker than the policies and regulations of the governments around the world. There needs to be a conversation with the University of the Bahamas,
yep,
to determine the role the university plays in framing and guiding the conversation. There needs to be a conversation with the wider public on what threats this will now pose to our democracy with deep fakes. And then there needs to be a wider conversation on how we preserve the intellectual properties of our persons, how we ensure the integrity of our institutions, and how do we improve the efficiency of government services. So this is, as you can see, I think that what may be a solution that the government may have to consider is a white paper on artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And how we could respond to it. I think that the Bahamas has already lead in their various sectors in the digital, from digital assets to cryptocurrencies. I think this could be another opportunity for us to really be industry leaders. So I think that's something that there's much for us to consider on the issue.
Thank you. And let's move now to the update in taxes and levies for the Bahamas Customs and Excise Department.
Yeah, so as you would be aware, last summer, during the government's national budget presentation, the Minister of Finance, who is the Prime Minister, would have indicated to Parliament new fees, right?
Yes.
Let's just speak to fees. That there is an increase in the departure for cruise, right? So, as you're aware, the air departure tax is at $29. The tax for cruise departure was significantly low, right?
Yes.
So there was huge volumes and persons coming departing by. Departing by cruise,
yes.
Government was not making any significant revenue on it. So what the government sought to do in this recent increase was to align the current cruise departure increase with the air departure increase. So now there's a $6 difference between cruise departure and air travel departure. The air travel departure remains unchanged from 2014. It stays currently at $29. There is a new tourism development levy fee, which all Bahamians will pay, including residents and visitors. So this means every time you depart out of the Bahamas jurisdiction by air, you would pay $2 redevelopment fee, tourism redevelopment fee, that will go towards the redevelopment of our tourism product.
Mr. Ramming, so the tourism enhancement levy is for every single person leaving the Bahamas, Bahamian resident, resident or visitor?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Now, I just want to ask briefly, why am I paying $2 because I'm going to be a tourist in somebody else's country?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to look at is that the ways we could capture reinvestment in our tourist product. And the more feasible way of doing that is to collect it on the departure. And so I think that, I don't know, and it's debatable, I think that the majority of Bahamians would want to find ways to contribute to an industry that has done so well for them. So I think it's more fundamentally the ease of how you collect the tax, and the most appropriate way could probably be on the end where persons are departing the jurisdiction internationally. And so that's where you capture more of the revenue of persons on the outside.
Okay. All right. I'm going to reach out to the hotel, well, to the Ministry of Tourism, to continue that discussion and to see whether there's to discuss how that specific levy will be applied, whether it's directly to tourism, whether it's to the consolidated fund, and to what extent does the average Bahamian benefit from said taxation. But thank you, thank you very much. And it's interesting to see that the fee for departure by any means other than sea has not changed for 10 years now. But other than sea, what other ways can we leave the Bahamas?
Well, I think on the percentage of Bahamians that travel by cruise is significantly low.
Yes.
So we don't anticipate that a lot of Bahamians would be impacted by the increase on the cruise. It's predominantly aimed toward foreign travelers. So and so there's also so I think so that's something that all things considered, we believe that this was the right time to really cost correct the cost difference between revenue difference between the air and cruise departure.
Absolutely. Now, there's another levy here. Every cruise ship passenger leaving the Bahamas by sea from a private island, not visiting any other port in the Bahamas. Is this the first time that this particular fee or levy has been implemented?
I have to check. I think it's a $5 fee. I'm not entirely sure. But definitely, I suspect the reason why. Let me confirm whether or not that is a new thing, or something I'll definitely get back to you with, so you can advise your guests, even your listeners.
Yes, and I will also request your assistance in reaching out to the Bahamas Customs and Excise Department, because it would be interesting to get a sense of the enhancement of resources. You know, what's required now to enforce that particular levy, and do we have the officers available in all of the archipelago to ensure that these fees are being paid?
Yes, and particularly, one of the things that we did in the budget, if you would remember the Minister of Finance saying that there are instances where we have to improve human resources on the family islands to ensure the greater capture of the tax revenue collection. We've seen in some instances, due to improved efficiencies and within the office, we've been able to get more revenue coming in from our family islands, being able to close the revenue gaps that we currently have. So I think it's something that the Ministry of Finance recognize is also a challenge. And with every challenge, there must be a robust response in the solution of those challenges. Aaron, also, I know that there's been wide discussions on a speech, on a leaked speech that the Prime Minister would have given to Blythe McKee Private Club.
I'm glad you spoke to it, because we're going to continue that discussion in the continuation of the show.
Well, let me just make it very clear. From what I've known the Prime Minister, he has been unapologetic in his view of economic justice and the lack thereof of successive administration to break the Achilles heels of these economic systems. That's in itself become a stranglehold on the wider economic qualities for the Havens. And so in his speech, which is no different from the speech he gave at a lecture at University of Bahamas, he spoke very candidly and frankly about how economic systems whether it be historically racial, whether it be historically political, whether it's been emboldened by the political system, whether it's been because of our journey to independence, not quite frankly broken. And what he sought to do is give a historical, honest, and candid account of these things and the need for these economic systems to break. There have been some who have obviously have a difficulty with hearing the truth. But I think that the Prime Minister reaffirmed his commitment to economic justice. He reaffirmed his commitment for the government putting on notice these economic cartels, persons who benefited significantly over a period of time from orchestrated economic structures. For far too long, he believed that certain groups have had a lockdown, certain components of the economy that have strangled the ability for the wider population to really grow economically. It is in some regards leading to economic and political frustration. And so it's something that he is acutely aware of, something that he spoke candidly about, something that his view that he didn't even go as far enough in saying. He's very frustrated with the way in which certain economic systems work in the country, particularly being spoken very heavily about the Graham-Harm economy and the economic systems around that, and the desire to break those things. So I think that in the coming months, you're going to see the Prime Minister take some very progressive steps on peeling those economic systems back. He's very frustrated at the way in which the hotel industry has marginalized the Haymans insofar as job opportunities. And what he's done to curtail that was aggressively renewed the extent in which the labor components of the Bahamians and non-Bahamians. I would say, prudently utilize the granting of work permits to cases where there are Bahamians who are capable with carrying out a particular level of profession. The Prime Minister himself has instructed that those work permits either be withdrew or denied. And so, like I say, you know, his behavior is very unapologetic when it comes to defending the rights, economic rights of Bahamians. Mm-hmm. He's going to continue to examine how we build on that. The theme of the speech, which some persons may have a difficulty with, is historical, and it's true.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'd like to say to you as Director of Communications, partially in jest, but it seems like Mia Motley and Chris Davis are rubbing off on the Prime Minister a bit too much. Y'all may have to take him back to London, lose some of his revolutionary spirit.
No, he does. I mean, you know, he itself, he is a progressive. He believes in the regionalism. He believes in economic justice. He believes in the rights of former colonies. I mean, this is fundamental to him, and he's unapologetic to it. I think it's something that he's proud of, and I think that he's not afraid to look anyone in the eye. I've been in close door meetings with the Prime Minister, whether he's speaking to the Secretary General of the United States, whether he's speaking to the Vice President of the United States, whether he's speaking to any foreign leader. He's very unapologetic on where the Bahamas stands. And as a small country, we've been brave in signing up to the rights of payments. I think he penned a very long letter to the Secretary General of the United Nations, yes, arguing how the wider world has significantly disenfranchised the Bahamas financial service industry, and how it's done so based primarily on a colonized mentality. Mm-hmm. And you've seen from that kind of conversation recently, the United Nations took a vote where they're considering a new approach to global park infrastructure, whether it's on the issue of climate change. We've been very frank, whether it's talking to the climate envoy for the United States, that he's not significantly impressed by the progress of globalized countries, industrialized countries.
Yes.
And so I'm proud of his leadership. I know most persons may not agree on every decision he can make, but what we can say that when it's time for him to defend the rights of the Bahamian people, he will do so unapologetically.
Mr. Rami, I want to thank you very, very much. I just want to say to my audience while you're here, I think some good follow-up reading. Let's start with the article in Friday's Guardian. In speech at Lyford Key, PM hits at economic inequalities. And then from the 12th of December, much earlier discussion, Pinder says industrialized countries owe obligation to vulnerable countries. And then another article from Friday that may be an interesting follow-up to the discussion, Investment Authority wants more entrepreneurial opportunities from FDI projects. Mr. Ramming, I want to thank you very much. I do have a caller on the line. I want to say, to you and my audience at the same time that I did not intend to take calls for this portion of the show. Are you willing to entertain a call, sir?
If I can hear it, I don't have an objection to it.
Okay, producer, let's plug that call through. Good morning, caller. Could you turn your radio down, please?
Good morning, this is Green.
Sparky, could you turn your radio down, please? You're very...
But now I'm listening to you on the conversation and I'm more special. More, I just wanted to say a pleasant happy new year to you and the Bahamian people. This is my first time getting on the radio for 2024. No more foolishness anymore.
Now, Mrs. Sparky, I have the Director of Communications from the Office of the Prime Minister holding on the line. I took the call in case you had a question specifically for him, but we
run. No, I thought you might have been finished with it. I just want to say happy New Year to the Bahamian people. Happy New Year to you. I'll call back later.
Thank you very much, Sparky.
I'm a great one, man.
Absolutely. Happy, happy New Year. We have to talk about your... I saw you, Sparky. Mr. Ramming, I'd like to thank you very, very much for joining us this morning. Producer, I see one quick call. Let's take this call quickly, if we can. They've disappeared. We had another call holding. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Ramming, for joining us this morning and for giving us context for... our conversation on the show, and I'm sure for the conversations that Bahamians are having right now about the most recent cabinet changes, the increase in levies and fees, and the Prime Minister's economic vision for the country and how he intends to create economic equity and equality in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I think that's the way that you would say it. The way that I would say it is Look at how my prime minister is prepared to block the plantation model economic systems.
That's correct. Thank you for having me. Let's make this a monthly thing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Have a great day. Producer, let's go to that next call, and then we're going to take a break. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, 52. How are you? Happy New Year.
Yeah, blessed New Year. Give thanks and praises.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, I wanted to ask him one simple question. It was really about the Freedom of the Information Act, right?
Yes.
And just being hyper-conscious about the political buffoonery that goes on. A simple analogy here. If I have a dog or if I have a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I keep telling I love her, but I'm doing actions that are contrary to what I'm saying. You think they wouldn't realize that? In other words, right?
Yes.
I've never heard such lotion in my life. We are people, we are on the ground, we are living on the ground. And let's give a simple analogy also. As far as equity, right?
Yes.
If you was enslaved for a certain period of time and you was being marginalized for a certain period of time, disenfranchised, how then can you become equal with just words or even a few implementations? They already, it's like a rat race. So if people are ahead of you, how could equity exist? You see, these conversations are for the mindless and people who really don't think, you know. It's hard to play catch up now on the plantation, Aaron. We have to move beyond conversations now. And sometimes people call and give statements. I heard one guy talking about the government this, the government that. We have to realize we are the people. So if the government is strong, right, then we are weak. So we need opposition. We need civil disobedience. We need to be contrary. We can't be all congruent on the plantation and just singing kumbaya whilst the country is sinking and people giving praises for what? Politics can't save us unless we get involved there. When will we realize that it's the people? People coming on the radio, spewing garbage, burnishing, not even lotioning, burnishing.
That's very strong.
And the country's thinking, we got to move up, man. We got to move up. We are responsible for our own selves, you know. We have to govern ourselves. We are the government. But as long as we take this lionizing, apotheotic type concept, we cannot get anywhere. Bless up.
Thank you. 52, my intent is to open the doorway for conversation. I'll be honest with you. I'm just grateful to have a government actor come on and explain government policy. And then we take the conversation from there. We're grateful that they've come and provided a context for us to delve into our public critique of state systems. And I want to thank the Office of the Prime Minister and the Director of Communications, Mr. Ramming, for joining us this morning. I accept and extend said invitation, and hopefully we can make it a monthly conversation so that our critique is stronger because we have a broader context for our conversation, and we have a direct link to the policymakers. Just because we're talking to them doesn't mean that we agree with them. Just because we're having polite conversation doesn't mean we agree with them, but it doesn't make sense to disrupt something that can be productive, right? Let's attempt to make it a productive channel of communication. Mr. Nuri, let's go to a break. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, let's talk. You're on the clock. You're on the clock, Guardian Radio, AM Wednesday, Man Down, Mashup Session. We'll be right back.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. I appreciate the Director of Information coming on and speaking with you. I sat back and just to listen and the engagement, and I'm hoping that it does become a monthly thing where you can interrogate him on systems.
Yeah.
And it's the systems that I think a number of Bahamians do not appreciate or understand.
Yes.
And he can give insight on the systems, why, wherefores, and the intent.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times we get caught up in the politics of things and not appreciating the intent of things. And the director was able to hint towards the intent. Now, mind you, that beg for one or two questions I have still. A word he used, I'm uneasy with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that he misused words or it was an intentional word, but I plan to interrogate that word just in case. So either he will respond again to say, well, this is what I meant, or I have to accept the word that he used.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go down that tributary when we start.
All right. Let me throw out the numbers to call. Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Text line, as always, powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Remember, you can listen to the live audio stream or watch select programs on the live video stream, including these ones, on the Guardian Talk Radio.com website, guardiantalkradio.com. 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Again, Family Island residents, 242-300-5720. Well, Mr. Nuri, let me get into the article then about the speech from Friday's Guardian. In speech at Life at Key, PM hits at economic inequalities, 29th of December, 2023. While the period from 1967 to 1992, and especially after independence in 1973, remains the most transformational time in our post-independence history, quote, close quotes, Ingram administration policies meant that those who already had significant capital did very well, and there was no significant positive impact on national development under a Minnis administration, Prime Minister Philip Davis said in an address to the Life at Key Club. The address was made on November 25th, but the Office of the Prime Minister declined a Nassau Guardian request for a copy of the speech shortly after it was given, saying it was a private meeting. The Prime Minister's speech was yesterday widely circulated on social media.
Do you want to pause there?
Yeah, we can pause there.
Okay. Let me do some analysis on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Firstly, the Prime Minister addressed two administrations,
mm-hmm.
right? Despite there being four administrations.
Mm-hmm.
The two administrations, mind you, the speech is not a political speech.
Right.
Right? It's supposed to be a general speech on his position of his administration, the Davis administration.
Mm-hmm.
However, he didn't mention the Christie administration. Did he mention the Christie administration?
I think he does mention the Christie administration.
In terms of the critique?
Briefly.
But look at the top critique when he mentions the Minnis administration was just above him. And he mentioned the Hubert Ingram administration above him.
But no Christie in,
but
right
no
in
Christie
the middle.
Christie administration absolving them of whatever critique he is giving the two F&M administration. Therefore, his speech is political.
I got you.
It's a political speech,
mm-hmm.
right? My concern is that it seems to have been a private, confidential, and I'm going to use this word, secret meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing that our prime minister does in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is a secret meeting. And if it is a secret meeting, it's clandestine, right? The director... This is the word I said I'm having an easy with. Use the word leaked.
Yeah.
The meeting cannot be leaked. It has to be disseminated to the Bahamian people because the Prime Minister represents me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't represent Life at Key. He doesn't represent a particular segment of the Bahamas. When he speaks, He speaks on behalf of me. Therefore, I need to know whatever he says so I can agree.
Or disagree.
Or disagree. I can support or conclude on what he said.
Yes.
Right? So when the speech said that he is doing it on behalf of the Bahamian people to promote equality or in general, equity, that's mm-hmm. a word, equity for the Bahamian people. When it said that it's a secret meeting, not going to be disseminated to the Bahamian public, even though the media have asked for the notes on the meeting, that means whatever it said was not for the benefit of me. Because if it was a benefit of me, I would have known about it. So even though the director tried to explain that he's trying to get equity for the Bahamian people, clearly that cannot be true because it's a secret. And I bring that to the point, again, by the former, what Clint Watson was before?
Press secretary.
Press secretary. At one point in time, before he transferred job, said that our prime minister speaks to a particular audience and then speaks to the Bahamian people. Two different type of speech saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? With that as a backdrop, and I remember when Clint Watson said it before, I said, I can come and haunt him again because that sets a precedent, right? That if it is true, which got to be impossible, that a prime minister speaks to different audience, different ways, with different information for different agendas,
mm-hmm.
that the idea that we're having a secret meeting in Life of Key that we're not supposed to know about, not supposed to get a detail about, even though it's saying concerning the wider audience of the Bahamas, I am now concerned. I'm now concerned about other meetings throughout the Bahamas where the prime minister is speaking on behalf of, can't be me.
The Treasury.
I am concerned. That's my point. All of that is, I am concerned.
Absolutely.
Especially when the director used the word leaked.
Yeah. I want to juxtapose that to the first paragraph of the speech given by the prime minister. And the speech is entitled, Onward from 50, A Vision for the Bahamas. It was remarks by the Honorable Philip E. Davis, Casey, MP, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to the Lyford Key Club, 25th of November. The first paragraph.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
Why the Lyford Key Club? What's so special about them? What does the Lyford Key Club represent? And that too must be absorbed by the Bahamian public, that our Prime Minister went to the Lyford Key Club for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Address them for a reason. And I'm assuming that they represent a seat of power. There's a political power, there's an economic power, and I assume, well, you can assume, because he didn't address us
mm-hmm.
to say, well, this is what he's doing, right? To establish why Life of Key, right? And the idea is, what does Life of Key mean to the Bahamian people, to the Bahamian economy, to the political
culture,
that he felt the need that I'm going to have to go and address these people. Because I thought Life of Key was foreigners.
No.
Life of Key's not foreigners?
No. There are a number of Bahamians who live in Life of Key.
I know there are a number of Bahamians live everywhere.
Yeah.
Paradise Island, Albany, whatever it is. Bahamians live everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the majority of people, the makeup, the culture, the ethos, the systems.
Right.
Are we saying that Life of Key, the ethos, the systems, are majority Bahamian? Then, being a gated community, being similar to what Albany said, we just want to be left alone, right? I'm not sure if Life of Key is saying the same thing. If we are saying that they are Bahamians, the majority of them, the culture there are Bahamians, who are living separate and apart from Bahamians, who control the culture and the economic drive of the Bahamas, again, we need to be concerned because I didn't necessarily knew that that's what is happening.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. How would you? Let's read the first paragraph of the speech. I am pleased to be able to share with you this evening some thoughts as to how my government is implementing its vision for the next 50 years of Bahamian independence. So I wanted to juxtapose the first paragraph, like everything that you just said. Now, I will acknowledge, in case you didn't hear the communication by the Director of Communications, Mr. Latre Raming, he indicated that the Prime Minister would have given a speech.
Which speech?
I don't know, because even my grandma's off.
The date is mentioned.
No, he's saying that the sentiment shared in this speech to the Lyford Key Club on the 25th of November would have already have been iterated in a prior presentation by the Prime Minister at an event at University of the Bahamas, right? I will have to search out that speech to see, but both spaces are similar in the sense that that is not the center of the Bahamian public consciousness, right? Telling me that you shared these sentiments at a presentation at UB does not solve the problem. Why are you not sharing your government's vision for the Bahamas with Bahamians in the same way you're sharing your vision for the Bahamas with other groupings of people?
Some people have privilege. And we've done a critique on that before, that the announcements that are affecting us tend to be done out of country.
Mm-hmm.
At these IMF and other organizations, and then it seeps through to the Bahamas later on. They say, well, that should have been addressed here first,
mm-hmm.
not that in a foreign country or a foreign entity then it comes to us. It seems as if we are secondary in terms of the announcements.
And then I want to throw in another critique. What if the problem is not that the Prime Minister makes these speeches sharing vital developmental information with foreigners or special interest groups first? What if the real problem is that political actors, in particular like MPs, don't take on their obligation of disseminating information to the public? For instance, the government likes to, producer, let's get that call up. Caller, we coming to you in a second. The government likes to share vital or integral developmental information with, I want to call them special interest groups, but they're more than that. They are civic organizations like Rotary, like the Chamber of Commerce. And I think the government shares that information with the expectation that those mechanisms will take it on as an obligation to disseminate the information that the government gave them to the wider public.
Does that happen?
I don't think it's happening. So let's go to the call, and then we can pick that up in a second. Good morning, caller.
How you doing, Aaron?
Good, thank you. How are you, sir?
Good. Perhaps he's talking to the people who count.
I mean, the ones who count the money? Or the ones who count the lamp poles?
Oh, gosh.
You can take that anyway. You want to take that?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Anyway, but ideally, you know, I find nothing wrong,
mm-hmm.
except that what they speak about hardly plays out in the economy. Okay? Now, you know, it's like, because, you know, the persons who are supposed to be, like, benefiting from what they are saying
mm-hmm.
or espousing are supposed to be on the ground in Nassau.
Yes.
Or the Bahamas itself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you check out West, and you check on the construction site, and you see the amount of American companies working in this country, you know, and our construction guys are being crushed. You know, we get an idea of this place, maybe nothing more than a plantation. And as long as our leaders can speak about stuff, they probably are of the opinion that they have done their duty. Now, when the electorate gets to a place where they take them beyond speaking, you know, do what you promise.
Yes.
Do what you said. You know, but you know, we have this poor habit of being tourists in our own country. You know.
Yes, sir. Thank you very, very. Oh, go on. Go on.
Oh, and I'm enjoying the book.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Mr. Newry.
Okay, babe.
Absolutely, right. Have a wonderful day. Our caller is enjoying. That's the caller that won the prize. He won a copy of Christopher Davis's book on your show last week.
Cool.
He said, thank you. He's enjoying the book tremendously. Thank you to our last caller, Mr. Nuri. We got to go to the end of the break at the end of the show. We transition into your hour. We're going to pick this up some more. And then I hate to say it, Mr. Nuri, but I have about 85 more stories to touch on for today.
I might want to interrogate this.
But we have to continue interrogating that.
Yes.
Absolutely. You've been on the clock in this half of the On the Clock Guardian Radio AM Wednesday Man Down mashup session. Again, we thank the Director of Communications for joining us today, sharing information with us and giving us a broader context for the government's decision making. We will be right back. So stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.